Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam. Yat vadnanam, yat shravanam, yat arhanam. Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham. Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha. Yat Kirtanam Yat Smaranam Yat Iksharnam. Yat Vandanam Yat Travanam Yat Arhanam. Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham. Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha. Yat. Whose kirtanam, glorification, yat whose smaranam, remembrances, yat whose ikshanam, audience, yat whose vandanam, prayers, yat whose shravanam, hearing about, yat whose arhanam, worshipping, lokasya, of all people. Sadyaha, forthwith, vidunoti, specifically cleanses, kalmasham, effects of sins, tasmai, unto him, Subhadra, all auspicious, Shravase, one who is heard. Namaha, my due obeisances. Namaha, again and again. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. Purport. The sublime form of religious performances to free oneself from all reactions of sins is suggested herein by the greatest authority, Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Kirtanam, or glorifying the Lord, can be performed in very many ways, such as remembering, visiting temples to see the deity, offering prayers in front of the Lord, and hearing recitations of glorification of the Lord, as they are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in the Bhagavad Gita. Kirtanam can be performed both by singing the glories of the Lord in accompaniment with melodious music, and by recitation of scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. The devotees need not be disappointed in the physical absence of the Lord, though they may think of not being associated with Him. The devotional process of chanting, hearing, remembering, etc., either all or some of them, or even one of them, can give us the desired result of associating with the Lord by discharging the transcendental loving service of the Lord in the above manner. Even the very sound of the holy name of Lord Krishna or Ram can at once surcharge the atmosphere spiritually. We must know definitely that the Lord is present wherever such pure transcendental service is performed. And thus the performance of offenseless kirtanam has positive association with the Lord. Similarly, remembrance and prayers also can give us the desired result if they are properly done under expert guidance. One should not concoct forms of devotional service. One may worship the form of the Lord in a temple, or one may impersonally offer the Lord devotional prayers in a mosque or a church. One is sure to get free from the reactions of sins, provided one is very careful about not committing sins willingly, in expectation of getting free from the reactions of sins by worshiping in the temple or by offering prayers in the church. This mentality of committing sins willfully on the strength of devotional service is called Namno Balad Yasya Hi Papa Budihi, and it is the greatest offense in the discharge of devotional service. Hearing, therefore, is essential in order to keep oneself strictly on guard against such pitfalls of sins. And in order to give special stress to the hearing process, the Goswami invokes all auspicious fortune in this matter. So Shukadev Goswami is just beginning his discourse. He's spoken already a few chapters, preliminary chapters, in reply to the first questions of Parikshit. But now he's going to seriously get down to the primary business of glorifying the Supreme Lord and of teaching the science of pure devotional service to Krishna. So, as is appropriate, before beginning such an important discussion, he's offering his invocation, Mangalacharana. One, before beginning any important auspicious activity, should perform Mangalacharana, especially if someone is composing transcendental literature. So Srikadeva Goswami is not sitting, you know, at a word processor typing the Bhagavatam, but he's speaking it. In previous ages, even up to the beginning of Kali Yuga, that's how you wrote a book. An author spoke, and the hearers used their ears. Even in the Vedic Brahminical system of education, it was all by speaking and hearing, not by books written on paper, or even on birch bark or palm leaves. That is Kali Yuga process of education. According to the traditional Vedic system, it is aparad to study the Vedas from a book, from a written text. It is considered offensive to study the Vedic mantras from a written material. You should study by hearing from the Guru. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, we cannot follow that traditional method of education. We cannot remember what we hear. Even the teachers don't remember the books by heart. So how can the teacher teach you unless he has the book in front of you? And how can you memorize what you've heard? We don't have that capacity. Payain alpayushakam sabya kalavas asmin yuge janaha manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya iupadrutaha. We're very unfortunate in Kali Yuga. We don't live very long. And for the short time that we do live, our minds are not very fit, we're disturbed, our intelligence is impure. And we are certainly not qualified to receive the Vedic knowledge in the traditional way. So therefore, in Kali Yuga, books are written down. But even when Shukadev Goswami spoke to Bhavatam, there was no written text. There was no printed edition, even any manuscript edition of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev is hearing, and later hearing, simply. He will get all the benefit just from hearing, directly. Later, I don't know what it was, 30 years later, Suta Goswami will speak the Bhagavatam again to Shonaka Rishi and the other sages at Naimisharanya. Again! There was no written text. It was all simply by speaking and hearing. Suta Goswami was at the original hearing and he absorbed the entire Bhagavatam just by hearing it. He never had a written copy. That came later only. Later in Kali Yuga, somebody wrote the Bhagavatam down. So, therefore, Shukadev is the author of the book, and therefore he's composing his auspicious invocation. When you write a book, an important book, you should begin with Mangalacharana, offering prayers to your deity, whoever your worshipable deity is. So here, Subhadra Shravase, the Supreme Lord, whose Shravas is fame, kirti, the fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all auspicious. Other people are famous, but their fame is not very auspicious. Napoleon, he's honored by the French, but not by the other people of Europe, who Napoleon invaded and caused so much trouble. He's not, his fame in Paris, he may be great. Everyone visits the tomb of Napoleon in Paris. But the Germans, the English, they don't love Napoleon. So his fame is not spotless. It's not all auspicious. But the personality of Godhead is honored by every honest person, everywhere. Prabhupada in the translation identifies that this is Krishna. Shukadev doesn't mention the word Krishna, at least in this verse. He doesn't name the Lord, but it's obvious who he's talking about. Shukadeva Goswami is a great devotee of Krishna, the son of Devaki. He knew Krishna even before he was born. When he was sitting in the womb of his mother, he was very reluctant to appear in this world. He didn't want to take birth. He didn't want to be exposed to the influence of Maya. So he refused, Shukadeva Goswami refused to come out of his mother's womb. And he sat there for 16 years. This is described in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna himself had to be invited by Shukadeva's father Vyasadeva came to Dwarka and asked Krishna to come all the way up to Bhadrika Ashram and request this child to please take birth. So Krishna came to Vyasadeva's ashram and asked Shukadev, please, you're causing distress to your saintly father and your mother. Please come out. I promise you, I give you my pledge that the material energy will never have any effect on you. Don't worry, you can come out. So only on the request of Krishna did Shukadev agree to take birth after sitting in his mother's womb for 16 years. So he saw Krishna. He heard Krishna, spoke to him before he was born, and had the vision of Krishna, and then immediately left home. He would not stay at his father's house. He went off to the forest immediately. So this establishes that Shukadev is a devotee of the same Krishna that we're worshipping. And even if he doesn't mention him in every verse, that is his worshipable Lord, his Ishtadeva. So the Mangalacharana invocation involves, first of all, offering respects to your Ishtadeva that he is doing here. Then you also explain the purpose of your book. That is explained even here in this one verse. What is the purpose of Bhagavatam? To teach us how to become devotees of Krishna. How to perform, how to engage ourselves in Krishna's devotional service. So in this same verse, in which he's offering his namaha, namo namaha tasmai subhadra shravase, that is the Ishtadeva pranam. But also, there is here the explanation of what the book is about. The book is about devotional service. And here, devotional service to Krishna, in practice, is being defined. It's defined in the seventh canto by Prahlad Maharaj. Shravanam kirtanam vishno smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam. 9 basic processes of devotional service. And this verse mentions 6 of the same 9. Does not mention sakyam, atmanivedanam, vandanam is there. So 3 of the 9 are not mentioned, but the other 6, the 6 first processes, are mentioned right in the same verse spoken by Shukadev. So here Shukadev is giving in his own words the same definition of what devotional practice is, the same definition that was given later by Prahlad Maharaj. That is basically stating what is the purpose of the book. The purpose of the book is to teach us devotional service to Krishna, and here is the definition of what devotional service in practice consists of. And the statement, and the third purpose of Mangalacharana is to offer blessings, ashirvad, to the readers, to give your greetings and blessings. And he's doing that here also. Lokasya sadyo vidinoti kalmasham. If we, here is Shukadev's blessing. If we simply engage ourselves in these processes, he mentioned 6 of them here, then vidunoti kalmasham. No matter who we are, the process is effective for any member of human society, lokasya, the whole world. Of course, we know from elsewhere that that usually animals do not benefit from hearing and chanting. They cannot chant, and they cannot understand what they might hear. So although some benefit is there, especially pure chanting can benefit even the animals, even the vegetables, even the non-moving creatures, can be liberated by the potent Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But normally, you have to be a human being.
to get the full benefit. Lokasya, people, human beings. Any human being, no matter who he is, what race he belongs to, what nationality, what his IQ is, what educational qualifications he has, it doesn't matter. Any human being, male, female, Chinese, Ukrainian, any, if they simply engage, and Prabhupada explains in the purport, either all of these six processes, all of the nine processes, or just some of them, or even any one of them. Virunoti kalmasham, all of his disqualifications, all the sinful reactions of past and present sinful activities are cleansed away. He's relieved of all his sins. So the Christians, their idea is that the Son of God, Jesus, died on the cross, and by his death, by his suffering, we're all freed of our sins. Suffering, sin, you commit sin, suffering has to be there. But their theology is the Son of God and came and did all the suffering for us. We just have to receive his mercy. Anyway, that's one idea. That is not our theology. Our idea is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, just do that and you're relieved of all your sins. Nobody else is going to do it for you. Don't expect someone else to die on the cross for your sins. But you can easily be freed from the reactions of what you've done wrong in your previous life, in other lifetimes, and what you may be doing wrong still now. You can be freed from all those reactions and all the entanglements that are making you continue to do wrong things. You're freed from all of it if you simply become seriously engaged in even one of these nine processes of Vaidhi Bhakti. That's the positive side. But there is also the negative side of it. It's limited. There's a limited list of what counts as all auspicious, all purifying activities of devotional service. Other things, ordinary pious activities, don't have the same potency. Don't expect that by just being a good person, building hospitals, digging wells, speaking sweetly to everybody, that you'll get the same benefit. By some mundane show of religiosity, you must engage in this pure devotional service. Then you'll actually become freed from all your sins. Otherwise, you can become an impersonalist sannyasi and be worshipped by people as a sadhu, but it will not impress Krishna. Your heart will not actually become pure. There are people who falsely presume themselves to be liberated, but they have not satisfied Krishna, Twayasta Bhavad, because they don't have love for Krishna. Because Avishuddha Buddhaya, because they have not any real contact with Krishna in devotional service, they're impersonalists. Therefore, their intelligence has not actually become cleansed, purified. They may have become clean to some extent. By performing austerities, you become purified. By doing pious work, by doing good for other people and avoiding doing bad to them. What is it? Saniyam Niendriya Gramam Sarvatra Samabhudayaha Te Prapnavanti Mameva Sarvabhuta Hitedrata. The impersonalists can also approach Krishna. They also make progress by being equally disposed to everyone, avoiding having friends and enemies, by controlling their senses very strictly, by trying to work for the benefit of other people. But if there is no love for Krishna, It's not, you have become purified to some extent, but not fully. Avishuddha buddhaya. There is some shuddhi, but not vishuddhi, not complete purification. The only way to become purified of all your sins is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Or at least to practice these 9 processes. Other pious activities are not of the same level of purifying potency. Not at all. And that is all being specified in this one shloka by Shukadeva Goswami. He gives a list and he promises that these activities will purify any human being of all of his sins. But it's implied that it's limited to this list. Other activities that may be honored in this world as saintly don't meet up to the standard of what Shukadeva Goswami expects of us. Prabhupada emphasizes hearing in the purport. Hearing two things, hearing in Shravanam and Kirtanam. He says that all these processes are aspects of Kirtanam. There are different ways of glorifying Krishna. To offer prayers is also Kirtanam. Kirtanam means to speak, to open your mouth and say something in glorification of Krishna. So it's basic. The two first processes are basic, hearing and chanting. You must first hear. If you haven't heard anything, when you open your mouth, what will you say? You will not be informed. You have to be properly informed about what should be said. By first hearing, listen first, and then speak. That is the intelligent process. A foolish person speaks first without listening. And what he says is nonsense there. Therefore. But the standard devotional process is listen carefully, then speak. And all the other forms of practice come from those two basic forms. Vandanam, offering prayers. That's just another form of kirtanam. Glorifying Krishna. You can glorify Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. You can offer some prayers, either your own prayers that you've composed, or repeat the prayers that someone else has composed. But that's another form of kirtanam, obviously. Padasevanam, offering some personal service to Krishna. Just like the devotees who are worshipping the deities. They're doing padasevanam. If you accept some responsibility for preaching, managerial responsibility, or you go out and preach to people, or you accept a responsibility to do some regular service for Krishna, cooking, cleaning, anything, that is padasevanam. That is personal service to Krishna, helping to execute his mission. That is also kirtanam. You may not open your mouth, but by dressing the deity nicely, by cooking nicely, food, that, prasadam that will be distributed to the public, by cleaning the temple nicely, this is spreading the glories of Krishna, even if you don't open your mouth to speak to anybody. So the two basic processes are this Shravanam and Kirtanam. Especially in the beginning of our devotional life, this is where we should put our emphasis. The Smaranam, remembrance of Krishna, becoming Krishna's intimate friend, offering everything you have to Krishna, like the gopis do. These are advanced processes. We cannot imitate them. We cannot even properly perform them until we become very mature in devotional service. So beginners should not be too much interested in trying to artificially come to the platform of remembering Krishna. That will come naturally later on. Our emphasis in the beginning phases should be rather all on hearing and chanting. And of course, even the advanced devotees, those who are remembering Krishna, they don't give up their hearing and chanting. Srila Sanatana Goswami, who was always remembering Krishna, who offered everything he had to Krishna, who was Krishna's intimate friend, he didn't give up Shravanam and Kirtanam. Jayati, Jayati, he offers his prayers to the holy name of Murari, to the process of Kirtanam. And he says, Jivanam Bhushanam Me. This is my very life, the decoration of my life, my Bhushanam and my Jivanam. This Harinam. Not that because I'm remembering Krishna, I don't have to chant Krishna's name anymore. He's absolutely dedicated to this process of kirtan, and no matter how advanced he is, he's never going to give it up. Devotees in the spiritual world are engaged in shravanam kirtanam. They don't have to. We chant a mantra to deliver the mind and to attain liberation. Gayatri. Gayatri delivers us, brings us to the stage of liberation. Other mantras are intended for the same purpose. But there's a difference between chanting mantra and Nam Sankirtan. Although the words may be the same, you may chant the same mantra, but to chant it as a mantra and to chant it as Nam Sankirtan is different. The attitude is different. This is explained by Srila Sanatana Goswami. A mantra you chant to get liberation, but Sankirtan is performed in pure love of Krishna. That is beyond liberation. That is what you do after you're liberated. That is what the liberated souls are interested in doing, in expressing their ecstatic love for Krishna. They don't care for liberation. They already have it. You're interested in something you don't have. If you have it, you don't worry about it. You take it for granted. So the pure devotees in the spiritual world, they take liberation for granted. They don't perform mantra meditation. They perform Nam Sankirtana, ecstatic glorification of Krishna. The residents of Vraja, of Vrindavan, are always chanting Krishna's names. Not because it benefits them, because they get pious credits and can earn liberation. They don't care a fig about liberation or ordinary pious credits. But they cannot help but constantly glorify Krishna and constantly chant his names. It comes spontaneously. That is Nam Sankirtan. That is the what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering us. Sankirtan means ecstatic glorification of Krishna spontaneously in pure love. That is, should be, the aim of our life. To be able to achieve that, we should ask ourselves, why are we performing devotional service? Now, some young men come to devotional service because they want security or they want some material advancement. You know, in ISKCON they can, you know, quickly get a big position, have a mobile phone, go travel to America. Or they want liberation, or they want freedom from anxiety. But this is not the real purpose of devotional service, material advancement, or even liberation. What we're really working for, whether we understand it or not, is to attain pure love for Krishna, to become attracted to Krishna, to become addicted to Krishna. And that is the purpose of sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is not there only to keep us busy, you know, so we don't get in trouble, to keep us from committing sinful activities. We have all these rules and regulations about what to do and what not to do. so we don't behave like barbarians.
No, that's
karmakanda. You find that in the Dharma Shastras. How to behave like a human being. Devotional service is not on that level of simply being a civilized human being. That's preliminary. The real program of devotional service is to purify your heart, cheto darpanam arjanam, saratmasnapanam, and to become immersed in the ocean of bhaktira samrita sindhu, the ocean of the nectar of prema, of love for Krishna. This is our purpose. We practice sadhana bhakti to get our hearts fit for becoming attracted to Krishna. That's the whole purpose of everything we're doing in our devotional life. We should be aware of that. We should try to remember that. Whatever material things we're aiming for, they're temporary. They're intermediate. We may even have spiritual goals. I'm trying to accomplish something for Krishna. Build a temple. Distribute books. So many things. But why are we doing those things? What are these books for? What is the Bhavatam for? It's not just a commodity to sell to make a profit. The purpose of the Bhavatam is to attract us to Krishna. Whole purpose. The purpose of all these devotional processes is to awaken our hearts to Krishna consciousness. Anyway, Shukadeva Goswami is fully aware of that. And he doesn't say everything in this one verse. We read all these prayers and we'll get the full message. Shukadeva Goswami makes it eminently clear that this is the purpose of our practice, to become attracted to Krishna and to learn how to love him. Because that's the real purpose of life. Okay, so I'll stop here. Anybody have any questions or comments? Mother, yes. Theoretically, it is said, Prabhupada is saying here that even just one of these processes will gain you the perfection of the love of God. But practically, there should be a mixture. There is a practical program recommended by Rupa Goswami, and it has been more clarified by Srila Prabhupada and originally by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that we have a twofold process of devotional service. Or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that our practice runs on two tracks. This train is running on two tracks. Mostly trains have two tracks. You can have a monorail, but that's rare. Usually a train has two tracks. Our two tracks are the Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi. Bhagavad Vidhi is basically chanting Hare Krishna and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And then later when we become advanced, sitting and remembering Krishna's pastimes. The Babajis in Vrindavan, Mayapur, that's what they try to do. Simply hear, chant, and remember. But in the modern age, in this century, even in the previous century, not many Babajis make much advancement. Because we need more. Our modern age is very contaminated. We need to be purified. So therefore, the second track in our style of devotional service is worship of the deity and chanting mantras like the Gayatri Mantra. These are to keep us pure. Every devotee should every day engage in the worship of the deity. At least come and take darshan or worship deity in your house if you're grihastha. Or the brahmachari recommended live in the ashram and there you will participate in the deity worship every day. Or at least come to the temple and see. Take darshan. Every day. And then the food that you eat, you offer it to Krishna. Don't cook just for yourself and offer everything to Krishna. That is Pancharatrika Vidhi. Take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. That is part of the Pancharatrika system. The Bhagavat system of just chant Hare Krishna doesn't require initiation. But we're not practicing only the chanting. We're also practicing this process of purification given by Narada Muni, which includes initiation. So Rupa Goswami says, take initiation. That is required. Otherwise, the process is not full. So there is a mix. You know, we should do some deity worship, at least to take darshan. We should study these books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. We should chant our japa. But don't expect, as the Babaji's try to do, that we can only chant and then sit down and remember. It won't work. Not in the modern age. Even if we're pure, we're living in a very impure environment. And the environment is fighting against us. We cannot find a peaceful place to sit and meditate. We're not allowed. We're not left alone. We have so many obligations and so many harassments. Every day, constantly. Where will we find the peace of mind, the time and the place to sit down and remember Krishna? Later in our life, we can do this. But so we have to have a mixed practice. Yes? Yes. Oh yes, no, it can be done. But for us in the modern age, it's difficult. What you can do, follow the basic process that Prabhupada has specified. Like Prabhupada put special emphasis on preaching. He recommended that everybody in ISKCON should be participating in some capacity in the preaching mission. There are so many different ways to do it. You can be cooking, you can be cleaning, you can be helping to administrate. There are so many ways to help the preaching. That is Prabhupada's specific recommendation. That was like the focus of ISKCON, is the preaching movement. We should do that. But at the same time, we may have a special attraction to one of the nine processes. We can put emphasis on that in our personal practice. We do what is expected of us, and then we take whatever free time we can to perform the one process that we really are attracted to. Offering prayers, remembering, whatever. That we can do. But we have to accept the basic mix and then add on to that an emphasis, our own personal emphasis. It's just like you go to the university. There are required courses that everybody has to take. And then there's also your specialty. You can major in something. And concentrate on something, but you're expected to take a mixture of basic things and then add your concentration, your specialty on top of that. So we can perform the basic mixed process and then develop our own specialty also. Maybe not in the first couple of years. In the graduate course, then you're allowed to specialize. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Thank you, all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.